You are listening to Dauber Prospects Radio, Episode 8. We're talking all things World Junior Championship, so let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwombeck here. Welcome to Episode 8 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and feel free to subscribe to our show on iTunes or any of your favorite podcatchers. You can also follow us on Twitter at @DPR_show or email us at prospectradio@dauberprospects.com. The first World Junior pre-tournament games start December 19th. The actual tournament starts, of course, on Boxing Day, December 26th. Peter, are you attending any of these pre-tournament games or the actual tournament games?
Well, I have sent in my application for media credentials, and I'm anxiously awaiting with my fingers crossed. But even if I don't, the pre-tournament games are all in my neighborhood. I travel by Cornwall. I live in Kingston. And so I'll be going to those games for sure, one way or the other. Yeah.
I can't believe I can't believe you haven't heard about your credentials yet. We're like 2 weeks away, not even a week away to these pre-tournament games.
Fingers crossed.
Excellent. I will not be attending any of them. I really want to get to one of the actual tournament games. I'm trying to find a buddy that bought a package, and maybe I can get to one of the non-Team Canada, Team Russia, the lower-level Latvia, Denmark, and watch a couple of those games, because they're still fun to watch. It's still great hockey.
Yeah, and as you'll find out throughout the show, there are some key players on those teams that you're going to want to watch.
And speaking of that, let's get right into the show. We're going to go with North American teams in segment one, then we're going to move over to Europe in segment two, and we're going to be joined by Ainsley Scott in segment three, and he goes around the globe covering everybody. So let's get right into it. Team Canada, Dylan Strome is going to be the leader of Team Canada. What are your thoughts on Strome?
It's a huge win for Team Canada to get one of the players back out of the NHL. I mean, there's no way they're going to get Connor McDavid or Mitch Marner. So they got a bone thrown when Strome came back. He's the first line center. He should just really dominate this tournament and be scoring at least a point a game pace. He's got 4 goals and 15 points in 6 games since returning to Erie. So he's someone who I think goes without saying is going to be in the limelight on home for Canada.
Yeah, that's just absurd. And last year, he went 4-2 for 6 points in 5 games played. Canada finished 6th place. So these returnees have a lot of boiled blood. They really want to get back into the medal contention. And I think Team Canada has a shot at this. Another returnee, Thomas Chabot, from the St. John Sea Dogs in the QMJHL. Ottawa Senators draft pick, first round, 18th overall. What do you think of Chabot?
He's going to be their stud on the blue line. He made the Sens to start the season, of course, and he was a healthy scratch for a bit, and he played only the 1 game and was a -2 before the Sens decided it would be best for him to return to junior and play a lot, which was a really good decision, and he'll star for Canada. I saw him play when St. John's came through Gatineau, and I was really impressed. He could just dominate the play at times, and it seemed like they were constantly throwing him out on the ice in every situation, you know, obviously 5-on-5, but first unit power play, first line PK, end of the period, defensive zone, you name it, he's their go-to guy, and I think that's a position that he'll walk right onto with Canada as well.
The Team Canada doesn't really like to go to the NCAA direction to bring guys in to the evaluation camp or even make the team. I'm pretty sure there's only 2 guys. One of the guys, Tyson Jost, University of North Dakota, first round, 10th overall by Colorado this past draft. Tyson Jost, is he going to make this team?
Oh, he's a lock. Perfect. Absolutely. Yeah, I think he'll play on the first line with Strome. Bob McKenzie said that they played together at the summer evaluation camp, and they showed some good chemistry. But I mean, that's all nice and swell, and he's playing pretty well for University of North Dakota as well in his NCAA rookie season. He's got 15 points in 7 games there. But I think what's really going to make him a lock for the team is he was the team captain for Team Canada in North Dakota last fall at the U18 tournament. And And he dominated that. He was just absolutely incredible there. So I'm sorry, that's where he had 15 points in 7 games. So I mean, he's shown that he can be an impact player for Canada against the best of his peers in his age group at the international stage. So look for him to play on probably the first line riding shotgun with Strome.
Yeah, who's going to be your other third? Say Barzal, maybe? Or is Barzal going to be second line?
Well, Barzal's a winger. I think they'll be happy to go with a really thorough 1-2 punch with Strome and Barzal down the middle. I mean, that's just a lot of offense. So teams that have a shutdown pair, like which one do you play them against?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's the style these days is to go with pairs. So maybe Barzal and Mitchell Stevens, who have had some good chemistry together, play as a pair, and then that's what they're doing right now in Quebec with their training camp. They're just trying some lines, playing some exhibition games against college teams, trying to find some players that can fit in on those pairs and maybe find some chemistry. Maybe a guy like Julian Gauthier gets a really good look there.
Yeah, and they basically just throw the lines in a blender in the preliminary games, and hopefully they find chemistry and then they ride it. It's such a short tournament that you ride a hot line immediately. You don't try and mess with it. So we're going to give you a sleeper for Team Canada and Team USA. Our sleeper is Taylor Radish. Tell us more about Radish.
Yeah, Taylor Radish. He wasn't on really the radar for Team Canada. He wasn't invited to the development camp in the summer, but he's just crushing it in the OHL. He's got 23 goals in 28 games. He's got 61 points playing for the Erie Otters in the OHL. It's just insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he played for Canada or Team OHL in the Canada Russia series. He scored there, looked great doing it. He's made his way onto the preliminary roster. He's got to score some goals for Canada in the exhibition games that they're playing right now, if he's going to make the team. But he's a pretty exciting player. He's very good offensively, obviously, and some people kind of question his skating abilities. He plays in the West, and I live in the East in Ontario, so I don't get to see him play a whole lot, but I see him a couple times a year, and his skating is not really something that jumps out at me as a glaring deficiency in his game. So I'm not really concerned about that, especially in a against his peers. Maybe when you move up into higher levels like pro, like the NHL, does he have NHL speed? No, but I don't think he has NHL liability skating either. So yeah, I think Taylor Radish is a legit contender to make the team and a top six pair.
Perfect. All right, let's move on to Team USA. They won bronze in 2016 at the tournament. Clayton Keller from Boston University is probably going to be a top-notch offensive stud for this team. 2016 first round, 7th overall by Arizona. Arizona just keeps piling on their prospects. It's kind of wild, their prospect depth. Tell us a little bit about Clayton Keller.
Yeah, Arizona's prospects are an embarrassment of riches, to say the least. He's a freshman at Boston U, and he's only played 7 games. He's got 9 points. He's had an injury. He's injured right now, but unlike some of the Canadian players that didn't make the team, they're confident that he'll be good to go for the tournament. So I would be a little bit surprised if he doesn't maybe get in one, maybe two more college games before the tournament starts. Hopefully he can, get his feet under him before he gets right into the World Juniors, or at least play some of the World Junior preliminary games in that last week of December there before the tournament starts. But he should be their offensive catalyst, I think.
So we talked 2/3 of this line already for the Erie Otters, their top line, Radish and Strome. Radish is, everybody says, always playing with Strome, and he's playing with Alex DeBrincat. Well, DeBrincat had the exact same thing happen to him the past 2 years, playing on Connor McDavid's wing. He's showing that he can drive a line and play without McDavid. It wasn't just McDavid becoming a producer. Alex DeBrincat was suspended last year for a spear. He only got into one game, I believe, or maybe a couple more games. How many games did he play last year, DeBrincat,
At
for
the
Team USA?
World Juniors, he played five.
He played
but you're right
five.
he He really struggled at the World Juniors. He only scored one goal. He had 25 minutes in penalties. He took some really bad, like stupid, undisciplined penalties, and they cost the United States some goals against, even maybe some wins in the tournament too. So he will be looking to atone for last year's performance for sure. And like you said, he's just can't keep him off the score sheet. He's just an offensively dynamic player. So he'll be on a, I would think he'd be on a first line offensive situation for USA this year. And yeah, he'll be a highly motivated player.
Yeah, another guy that's going to have a lot of motivation on his back, Jeremy Bracco. He was left off the team last year, and that was kind of an interesting move. Everybody, well, not maybe not everybody, but a lot of people thought he should have at least made the team or was invited. This year he's been invited. Is he going to make the team this year?
I think so. Like Taylor Radish, he is just crushing the OHL in scoring. He scored the overtime winner on Friday night against Kingston in Kitchener, and that extended his point scoring streak to 26 games.
Jeez.
Yeah, and the knock on him has been he's a little bit undersized, but that's not something that I'm really worried about. He's got some pretty good hockey strength, and he just has such incredible vision. He makes the most sublime passes. Not unlike a fellow Leafs draft pick, Mitch Marner. He has the ability to make plays that make you say, wow. So yeah, I think his skill level kind of is going to force the United States to put him on the roster this year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mitch Marner was also, he was too small to make the NHL this year, but he's fitting in just fine with the Leafs right now. Give us your sleeper for Team USA, Peter.
All right, so I recently came across a prospect that I didn't really know much about watching him play an NCAA game on TSN, and that's Troy Terry. He plays for the University of Denver, and he had a couple of plays in that game that, kind of made me really take notice of him. He's got such really, really good offensive instincts and awareness of where his teammates are, and he can make passes and, make blind shots at the net, like a spin and shoot at the net without really even looking, and nails the corner. He's got those kind of offensive instincts. He's only 5'11", 168, so he's a little undersized, and he's a 2015 pick by the Anaheim Ducks. They picked him in the fifth round. But he's got 18 games, 17 points played in Denver this year. He's on the preliminary roster. He's certainly not a lock to make the team. But if he does, I would be really excited to see how he does and really get some good viewings on him. He's only 1% owned on Fantrax. So he's got the potential to be if he makes the team, plays really well, you could get yourself a free agent prospect signing here that could have some really sneaky good value.
All right, perfect. That is the North American side of the World Junior Championships. When we come back after the break in segment two, we're going to talk a few Russians, we're going to talk a couple Finnish guys, a couple Swedes, and even fit in a Swiss player. Peter's going to give you all the rundown when we get back. All right, we're shifting focus to the European side of the World Junior Championships. Let's start with the Red Machine, Russia. Artun Tanulin from the Ottawa 67s, undrafted. Tell us a little bit about this guy, Peter.
Yeah, so he's a 19-year-old. He was undrafted in both last year's draft and 2015. He's a little undersized, and there are some concerns about his defensive commitment. So at 5'10", 174, but I watched the 67s play a couple of times a year, and this kid just keeps getting better. And this year he's dominating. He is controlling the play offensively. He's their go-to player for offense. He's got speed to burn. He handles the puck really well. The last game I saw him play last week in Peterborough, he's always the high man. So when Ottawa gets the puck back and they make a stretch pass in transition, he's always halfway up the ice already. But I saw him take some really hot, hard to handle passes, and he took them seamlessly. Sometimes off the back of his stick or off the boards or off his foot, whatever it was, he took some passes that there is no way in the world I would ever be able to even consider controlling. I'd fall down if I tried to. And he took them, and while skating at top speed too, in stride. So those are some skills that I really like about him and have stood out. And he also played at the Canada-Russia series, a couple of games when they came through Ontario. I don't call if he scored or not. I don't think he did. He maybe he did, but he stood out anyways as a player that can drive the offense. So he's undrafted, so you can't pick him up in your fantasy leagues. You know, most leagues don't allow you to pick players who are undrafted and have no NHL affiliation, but he's someone you want to, you know, put on your personal watch list, I think.
Yeah, we're going to have another guy that's a little bit of a tease for Finland, that there's another guy that you're going to have to put on your personal watch list. But let's get back to the Red Machine, Team Russia. Nikita Kurosilev, we're going to stay in the OHL, Peter's bread and butter. He plays for the Sarnia Sting, the 7th round, 185th overall by Toronto. This guy's playing for Team Russia this year?
Yeah, he moved to Canada when he was a youngster. He's been playing hockey here. His profile on Elite Prospects goes back to 2011. So he's never played internationally for Russia before. So I thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, politics aside, Russia still chose to select him. And the knock on him, on his play, has been his defensive play as well, and his skating. He's not the strongest skater, but both of those components of his game have improved significantly in the last year, and he's having an outstanding offensive season for the Sarnia Sting right now. So he's a player that is on the preliminary roster and has a really good chance to make the team.
Wild. So Kirill Kaprizov, speaking of Wild, drafted by the Minnesota Wild, playing in the KHL, he's outscoring Pavel Datsyuk. Where'd this kid come from?
He's come from Russia. He's a 19-year-old, and he is setting records in the KHL. He's, I think he's the highest all-time under 20 points per game player in KHL history. Now, wow. The KHL doesn't have, it's a nice record, and they've been around a few years now, but they don't have the history that the NHL has. But still, I mean, he's ahead of some really prominent players that have gone on to have good NHL careers and delivered a lot of fantasy points. Now, you know, you might be concerned about, well, the Russian factor and all that, but he's in the last year of his agreement or deal with his KHL team, and he's gone on the record to say that he wants to come to North America next season, and he's even said that he's willing to play in the AHL if that's what he needs to do to make it to the NHL. But he is someone who I am really going to be watching hard for Russia when they play. And he's only 8% owned in Fantrax pools. So if you're not in a super crazy deep pool, he's probably available. And if he makes Team Russia and you're thinking about picking him up, I wouldn't sleep on him.
Perfect. That's awesome to hear. His availability is pretty high. So
yeah.
Let's move on to the defending world junior champions, the defending under 18 champions, the Finland Kroner? No, not Kroner, that's Sweden. Team Finland, Eli Tolvanen, 2017 draft eligible. He's the USHL leader in scoring. Tell us, what is this guy going to do this tournament?
He's going to score some goals, and he's probably going to score a boatload of them. He is arguably the best natural goal scorer in the draft for 2017. When on Dollar Prospects, when we do our fantasy ranking draft eligible players article that we do every year, he's going to be near the top. He's in his second season in the USHL, and he's committed to play in Boston College next season. But yeah, he is probably going to be one of the leading scorers for Finland in this tournament. So someone to watch for sure.
Is that going to bring down his ranking in fantasy because he's going to Boston College? So you're not going to get him right out of the draft next year?
No, not necessarily. I mean, sure, he's committed to Boston College, but he's a little undersized, and he probably needs some more development time before he's ready for the NHL anyways. I mean, this draft isn't like last year's. You're not going to have seven guys coming out of the draft, walking into the NHL and making an impact like the guys are this year, like Laine and Matthews and Marner and Chychrun and so on and so on. It's just not that strong a draft. But just because he's coming to Boston College and that's a four-year program doesn't mean he's going to see that 4 years through. He might turn pro after, you know, two, maybe even one season of college. He'll make the NHL when he's good and ready.
All right, perfect. That's good to know. This is a real hard question, Peter. We didn't discuss this beforehand or anything, but Team Canada is going to miss out on Connor McDavid and Mitch Marner and maybe Jacob Chychrun. Is Finland going to get Patrick Laine or Sebastian Aho back from the NHL?
No.
All right, that easy answer. Of course not. They're doing way too well in the NHL. Finland is just chock full of prospects as well. Their rankings has just skyrocketed in the past couple of years, and the fact that they now have guys in the NHL that could play for World Juniors, I feel like Team Canada was the only one that really had that problem, that they were like, oh, all our guys are in the NHL, but now every other country's getting that same repertoire of just too many guys.
Yeah, and it's interesting with Finland this year too that there's not a whole lot of draft eligible players going to the World Juniors. And there's a few, and there's a couple of prominent ones, and Eli Tolvanen is one. But you know, Canada has none, and Russia has like none, I don't think. And the United States only has one, and that's the goalie, and he might not even make the team. And if he does, he might not play. But Finland's got a whole bunch of guys that are draft eligible this year, so they've got the youngest team in the tournament of the contending nations. So I think that'll be a really interesting dynamic, the sub-storyline to pay attention to as the tournament progresses.
Interesting. Tell us a little bit about Petrus Palmu.
Yeah, so he's an interesting player. Again, he's undrafted last year and in 2015. I did a little research on this guy, and it looks like in his draft year, he was listed at about 5.5 feet tall.
Wow.
Which would explain why he went undrafted, despite having some pretty good offensive abilities. He's now listed at 5'10 and 165, so he's still a little pretty undersized, and he's very light. But this summer, he's obviously growing. He's getting a little bit bigger. If he can put on some strength and some bulk, that'll serve him well. He was invited to Montreal Canadiens development camp this summer. He played well there from the reports that I've read. I got a notes from our Habs scout, Mike Barrett. He likes him. He obviously wasn't offered a contract though, but he's got 21 points in 32 games so far in the OHL this year. And he'll be scoring for Finland at the World Juniors. So I'm really interested to see how he plays against the elite of his age group. And if he can translate that into an NHL contract.
And he's another guy in Fantrax that you won't be able to pick up, correct?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure if he has a Fantrax profile or not. I don't think so, because he has zero official NHL affiliation, but the fact that he was invited to the Habs development camp might be just enough for him to get on the Fantrax radar. Okay. I know that they have undrafted, unsigned players that have been training camp invitees on Fantrax, but I don't know if there's very many leagues that allow you to sign players of his status that don't have NHL affiliation. Hey, if they do, you probably got a deep prospect bench, so go ahead and roll the dice on this kid. He could be great.
Perfect. All right, let's go to Team Sweden. They finished fourth in 2016. They were relying a lot on William Nylander, who didn't really pan out with injury, but a guy that stepped up, his younger brother, Alex Nylander, is back for this tournament. Is he going to lead the charge?
Absolutely. He'll be the best player for Sweden, of course, but he could be the best player in the whole tournament. He's 19 years old. He's playing this season in the AHL against men in the second hardest league in the world, and he's got 4 goals and 14 points in 22 games. Like you said, last year at the World Juniors, everyone was going to be looking to William Nylander in Sweden, and he got injured right out of the gate, and Alex Nylander picked up all the slack. He had 4 goals and 9 points in 7 games in last year's World Junior for Sweden. So he's a year older now. He's just going to dominate.
Perfect. Tell us something about Carl Grundström.
Sure, he's a Leafs second-round pick, and he's another 19-year-old player that's playing pro hockey. He is in the SHL in Sweden, and he is the leading scorer under 20 years old in that league. He's got 11 goals and 13 assists in 25 games played. He's a sneaky good prospect who's cool. I think after this tournament, he could have a bit of a coming out, and Leafs Nation is I think going to be really excited in what this guy might have to show in the World Juniors. So he's someone who's only 6% owned on Fantrax, which is pretty low for a Leafs draft pick in this, as high as the second round. So most leagues, Carl Gunstrom is a player who's available. So all you Leafs fans out there, pay attention.
Excellent. All right, we're moving on to Team Switzerland. They finished ninth place in 2016. They're going to try and stay out of the relegation and not get bumped down to the B division, the B side of World Junior Championships. This kid, Nico Hischier, plays for Halifax Mooseheads, who has just a plethora of amazing rookies in the recent years. Nathan McKinnon, Jonathan Drouin, Nikolai Ehlers, Timo Meier, and now Nico Hischier. 2017 eligible. Tell us a little bit more about Hischier.
Yeah, he's going to go down in history as the highest drafted Swiss-born player in NHL history this summer. He's working his way up the draft charts. He, you know, in the summer and fall, everyone was thinking, oh yeah, he's a first round pick. And now it's looking like he's going to be a top 10, maybe top five. I don't know if the World Juniors will have much impact on his draft ranking. It certainly won't hurt him at all. But you know, he won't have a good supporting cast to play with in Switzerland. They're a nation that's on the come in international tournament. And players like Nico are a big part of that. He's second overall, or tied for second overall, in scoring in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. He's got 22 goals and 47 points in 29 games. He's big, skates and moves really well, controls the play offensively, pretty good defensively as well. There's a lot to like about this player, and I'm excited to see how he handles the elevated competition at the World Juniors.
Yeah, he was there last year in Helsinki. He played six games and got two assists. He definitely wasn't as high level as he is now. He's not going to get all the minutes. He is going to get all the minutes, unlike last year where he probably didn't get played as much. But this year, they're going to rely on Hischier to put up big numbers and try to win a game for them so they can stay out of that relegation.
Yeah, keep in mind, he's draft eligible this summer. So he was like 2 years junior to everyone else in the tournament and playing on one of the lesser talented, less deep nations. So, you know, the fact that he didn't put up impressive numbers is not surprising. The fact that he scored at all is impressive.
Yeah, exactly. Is there anybody that we haven't mentioned, Peter, that you want to talk about?
There's one player that I'll just throw in a little nugget about. Adam Musiel plays for the Czechs, and we haven't given the Czechs much love. There's not much there to love, but Adam Musiel is a player. He's drafted by the St. Louis Blues, and when I was at a Kitchener playoff game last year, I ran into Tim Taylor. He's the director of player development and personnel for the St. Louis Blues, and I asked him about what prospects they had in the system that he was excited about that, you know, maybe a little under the radar, and one of the names he mentioned was Adam Musiel. So I said, well, what's he like? And he compared him to David Backes. He said he's a big player. He skates really well, plays the game hard, is really good two-way. You can play him in any situation. And so he's someone who I'll be looking forward to watching on the Czech Republic team.
Perfect. And the tournament, again, starts December 26th, Boxing Day, at 1 o'clock. Denmark versus Sweden is the opening game of the tournament. Very exciting. When we come back from the break, we're going to meet up with Ainsley Scott from Hockey Prospect Radio.
All right, third segment. It's time to have on this week's guest, and it is none other than Ainsley Scott. Ainsley is part of the Hockey Prospect Radio team, and you can catch them on SiriusXM and the TSN network. Ainsley is also a Dauber Prospects contributor. He helps us out with the Prospect Report, which you no doubt purchase every year. Ainsley, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on.
All right. So Paul and I are talking World Junior Tournament coming up and some fantasy hockey prospects that that people are going to want to listen to. We've gone over a couple players already, but I wanted to get your take on a few more. So let's start in Canada. In goal, they're going to be an interesting competition, and it looks like the inside track might be going to Carter Hart. What's your take on Carter Hart?
Yeah, well, I think that he probably will win out the job. That's if he has a good showing, clearly in the camp. But Carter Hart is a very athletic goaltender. He's not the prototypical height that you tend to have goalies these days. You know, the 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", monsters that we've been seeing filling up the nets around the junior leagues. But he's extremely quick. His concentration is phenomenal. And the thing that gets me the most about Carter Hart every time I watch him play live is that he's cold as ice under pressure. Like he doesn't lose position on rebounds. He doesn't get rattled if he lets in a goal. He's just stone cold. And I think in a tournament like this, that type of psyche is going to really pay off for Canada if they play him.
Yeah, goalies are a really tough nut for me to crack. I have a hard time scouting them. But one thing I've always noticed about goalies, something that separates good goalies from great goalies, is the mental fortitude, if you will, and you know their ability to brush off or even lap off a bad goal or a turnover that they make. And that's something that that you've seen in Carter Hart?
Absolutely. Pretty much every time I've seen him. He hasn't won every game that I see him in because the team in front of him is a little uneven from night to night. But he always keeps them in the game, and he battles all the way through the game. So even if they're down, he doesn't ever give up on plays. He's very, very strong on his rebound control. And he resets so quickly that, you know, with the skill that he's going to be up against in this tournament, you're going to want a goalie that's going to be able to recover very quickly. And I think that, you know, Carter Hart's that kind of guy that I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking a little bit further down the line here that Philly doesn't fast track him to the NHL. I think, you know, I'm very, very conservative when I talk about young goalies going into the NHL. I don't think you should look anywhere beyond 5 or 6 years from the time they're drafted before you even pencil them in as a backup goalie in the NHL. But I think Carter Hart is one of those guys that might surprise a lot of people coming up about how quickly he actually earns a backup job in the league.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if he can be the solution to the long-standing goaltending problem in Philadelphia. Let's move on a little bit and talk about another player from the Dub. Canada's got Matthew Barzal penciled in as their number two center, but Sam Steele is another player that plays center. He's a prolific scorer in the Dub. You think he's got a chance to crack the top, the third line center maybe, or shift to the wing, or is he not even necessarily a shoe-in to make the roster? What's your thoughts on Steele?
Oh, Steele's a shoe-in for me. I've seen him twice already this year live, and the thing about Sam Steele is that he can process the play at the speed that he's going to need to in this tournament. There are certain players that look very good, and even I think on the Canadian selection roster, who look very good in junior. And there's two players specifically in the WHL who I'm a little bit dubious about them making the squad, but Sam Steele's not a guy that I would worry about. I would shift him to wing just because I think the team is very strong at center down the middle with Strome and Barzal, and I think Dubois will probably go over to the wing as well. So Steele, I'd shift over to the wing, and I think that he's got such a really good release and he's got really good vision that he can really complement a whole wide range of players and make them better. So I think he could be on a very dangerous scoring line.
Awesome, Ainsley. Let's move on to Team USA. Colin White, is he the linchpin of this Team USA offense?
Well, I don't know if he's going to be the linchpin of the offensive side of the team. I think, you know, Clayton Keller is really the guy, if he's healthy, that I would look at as saying, you know, he's one who's going to drive the offense. But I think Colton White is one of those blood and guts types of players that if you're going to win the USA with their team, they need a great tournament out of a guy like Colin White. You know, I think he could slot in at that, second line center spot and be a good shutdown two-way hard guy to play against. And you know, he's a leader on his team as well too, in college. And you know, he's one of those guys that if they're going to win in the really tight games against teams like Finland and Russia and Canada, especially, and the USA tends to have a thought process about trying to match up against the Canadian style, I think that they're really going to need Colin White to be that guy who's going to be really hard to play against and actually be a two-way threat.
Yeah, Colin White was drafted by the Ottawa Senators round one, 21st overall. Let's move on to Winnipeg Jets prospect Jack Roslovic. Looked really good in the evaluation camp. What do you think of Jack Roslovic?
I think it's Roslovic, but Roslovic, okay. But Jack is he's one of those guys that, you know, he's got a little bit more experience now. He's got pro experience, and you usually find it guys coming into the World Juniors, right? And you know, he's got that AHL experience now, and he's got some college under his belt. And you know, the thing about him is that he is going to be able to be a strong, fast two-way winger. He's got lots and lots of creativity. He's really tough to play against as well, too. He's going to be hard along the boards, really hard in the corners, and he can really complement a power play. You know, he can actually set up as a trigger man, the half slot as well. And I think if you put him with somebody who can get him the puck, he's going to really battle for loose pucks, and he's going to come up with 50-50 pucks. And he's not far from the NHL. You know, when I saw him in the Young Stars tournament out in Penticton with the Jets, Flames, Oilers, and Canucks prospects, he really stood out. Him and Kyle Connor were just, you know, almost heads and tails above pretty much anybody else in the tournament. And so to have a guy with that amount of experience and you know, that style of play at his age come into this tournament, he's going to be a very, very key person for the U.S.
Okay, let's move to the back end and get a quick note on Charlie McAvoy, a Boston Bruins prospect. Is he going to be one of the top defensive pairings on Team USA this year?
Well, you know, I don't know how they're going to line up for Team USA. I would kind of hope so. You know, I was a big proponent of Charlie McAvoy going into the draft last year. I think Peter knows that. We talked about him a couple times, I think. And, you know, he's one of those guys where he's almost like a mini Doughty. You know, if he's playing correctly, he's not exactly the same size, but he skates really well. He's hard on the puck. He's got a heck of a shot. He's very, very competitive. And I think he's one of those guys that he may not be the most offensively talented as far as, like, you know, skating the puck up the ice and doing that kind of thing. But he's going to make really strong, solid plays around him. And he's really, if you ever get a chance to talk to Charlie, you'll see, like, the kid's a winner. So you do want to play him at key moments in the game. And he's a guy that I think is going to have to be very important for the United States, but I just don't necessarily know that they're going to play him on a top line or in the top pairing there. But I think he's definitely going to play 20 minutes a night for them.
All right, let's move to Finland. And let's talk about two players that I'd like to learn something a little bit more about. Florida Panthers first round pick Henrik Bjorkstrom and a draft eligible prospect in Juuso Välimäki. What can you tell me about those two?
Well, let's start with Borgstrom. You know, Borgstrom was the guy that the Panthers went a little bit off the board to take at the end of the first round in this last draft. And, you know, enough to kind of surprise Borgstrom himself. We talked to him at the draft, and he said he was shocked. You know, he wasn't expecting it. And all of a sudden, everyone's looking at him and there's cameras on him. And he said that was one of the most, unbelievable situations. But he's really, so far this year, he's really made them feel good about that pick, and he's really backed up the fact that, you know, they took him 23rd overall. And there was some questions about, you know, how much offense he has, but if you've seen him play for Denver this year, he's so strong on the puck, he's so creative, and he could have a lot more goals than he does now. He's just a very, very talented player with a very long reach, and he competes hard as well too. So Borgstrom is going to be one of these guys that I would not be surprised if he winds up being the number one center on the team for Finland in an offensive role this year. And he's going to be a big key to them. And I think he's going to open a bunch of eyes for people who didn't know who Henrik Borgstrom was going into the draft last year when they see him play in this tournament. I think I think he's gonna jump out at some people. And then as far as Yusuf Alamaki goes, he's one of my favorites for this draft coming up this year, actually. I had a chance to talk to him about a month ago and meet him after a game that I saw him play for the Tri-City Americans. And, you know, he plays with another really highly talented and highly ranked prospect for this draft as well, in Michael Rasmussen, who's a Surrey kid out in BC here. But Yuso is going to have the opportunity to be very much like Olio Levy was for the Finns last year. You know, to have a 17-year-old come in and play very strong on the blue line. He moves the puck extremely well. He's got a very hard shot. He's very strong. He skates very well. He skates very well in transition as well, too. And he retrieves the puck really well. And he can work on a power play. He's currently got the most points, I believe, in the WHL amongst defensemen. And for a draft-eligible guy playing his first year in North America, second year in North America, that's very impressive. So, you know, I think he's a guy who's, you know, he's 6'2 already. He's got a long reach. And when you see him and you meet him, you realize that he's got solid trunk strength, you know, his core strength, his legs are very, very thick for a kid. He can play already against guys older than him, men. So he's a guy that I think not only is going to be very important for Finland on their back end this year, but he's going to open up a lot of eyes. And I wouldn't be surprised that after this tournament, if people aren't talking about him as a potential top 10 pick.
All right, and moving on to Team Sweden. Everybody's going to be focusing on Alex Nylander and hoping that he leads Sweden to the gold medal. But let's get your opinion on two young kids, Eliash Peterson and Rasmus Dahlin. What are these two kids? And tell our listeners a little bit about them.
Well, you know, Peterson's a kind of an interesting case. You know, he's got a lot of skill. He's young. And, you know, I'm not exactly certain what kind of role he's going to play in this tournament. You know, with the Swedes, they tend to give a lot of weight to their older players, a lot like the Russians do, where the 19-year-olds tend to play a lot of the time. So I'm not exactly certain exactly what role he's going to get on the team and how much he's going to play. But if he does, I think he's going to be a guy who is going to be able to provide a little bit of spontaneous offense for them. And really, to be in this tournament, I think he's just got to be able to play up to the speed, like as far as processing the game goes, with the more senior players. But the kid's got a ton of offensive talent, and he can score along the wing. I think he reminds me a lot of Lindholm in that sense. He's a little bit bigger than Lindholm, but he can feed the puck and he can shoot the puck, and he's got a lot of creativity. He's just got to be a little bit stronger going forward. But now Rasmus Dahlin is really interesting to me. No relation to Jonathan Dahlin. It's Rasmus Dahlin, I believe it is, spelled differently. But this kid is 17-year-old. He's draft eligible, or sorry, he's a 16-year-old draft eligible prospect in 2018. And this kid has so much offensive talent from the back end. He's an absolute wizard with the puck. I mean, it's not often that you'd say, okay, this guy who's a D minus one is draft year minus one, that he's got any shot of making a world junior team. I don't know if he will make it, but I think he should make it. And he's going to be one of those guys that if he does make it, he's going to need to be an offensive producer on this team. But if he is, I think that, you know, after this, he's going to be talked about as being, you know, a potential top five pick for next year already. Like, he's going to open up so many eyes for next year because this kid can handle the puck really well. He can shoot the puck. He's got a lot of creativity and he's got a really, really strong drive to play the game. Like, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he fights for pucks. I think he's only about 170 pounds now, but he'll dig for a puck. And this is a guy that I think that every scout in the world, if he makes the team, is going to be all eyes on him. Because this is a guy that is going to need a lot more viewings, because he may wind up being one of the favorites for next year.
All right, and that's Rasmus Dahlin, everybody who's listening. You mentioned Jonathan Dahlin, who is an Ottawa Senators prospect. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Yep. He's not the biggest guy, but he plays a lot bigger than his size. Jonathan Dahlin is he's basically a dog on a bone type of player. He's really in your face. He's really quick two pucks. He's not the fastest straight ahead skater, but his two step quickness is very good. His stick in the lanes is very, very good. He's got an excellent shot. He can set up players very well from the wall as well. I think he's a little bit undersized to probably be a center going forward as far as a prospect goes. But I've been wrong about that before in Claude Giroux. So, you know, there's always that caveat, you know, are you too small to play? Well, you know, until you play really well, you're not, you know. So he's one of these guys that I think Jonathan Dahlin, he's the son of Alf Dahlin, but he's actually a very different type of player than his dad in a lot of ways, because his dad was so much bigger than he was and had a really, really hard shot. Jonathan Dahlin is just going to be a guy that is going to disrupt pucks and cause a lot of turnovers and be really dangerous, like spontaneously on the puck. So he's just a guy that I think that in a tournament like this, especially, he's going to be able to skate miles for the Swedish team up and down the ice. He's going to knock a lot of pucks free. And he's going to be a pain in the butt for pretty much anybody that needs to play. And when he's playing against some of these younger D-men, I think he might be able to pressure them into causing a lot of turnovers. And he's basically the guy I would put in on the forecheck for most of these, for most of their forays, if they do a dump and chase style.
Ainsley, I want to talk about Russia now. You mentioned them a minute ago and you said that they have a tendency to lean towards older players. And there's Klim Kostin is a draft eligible player. He's a highly ranked prospect for the draft coming up. And I've heard a lot of really polarizing opinions about him. Some people really love him. They think he's fantastic. And then I heard a quote recently, I think it was from the Russian team, saying that he lacks the offensive, explosive offense to make the team. He's too young or whatever it was. I watched him play a little bit finally at the Canada-Russia series. And I was a little underwhelmed. He didn't strike me as a surefire lock to make the Russian team. He kind of struggled at times in that tournament. What's your take on Klim Kostin?
Yeah, I think you pretty much summed it up perfectly, Pete. He is very polarizing. And the reason why he's so polarizing is he has great games and then he has dogs of games. So the thing about Kostin is that, you know, he's a big, strong guy. He's got a heck of a shot. Like when he's on his game, he looks like Evgeny Malkin. You know, like that's how big and strong he is and how, you know, like how much he can, how quickly he can release the puck, how heavy his shot is. You know, the fact that he can play physically as well, too, in his size, you know. But I don't think he is going to make the team. And I think that he's not going to make the team for a lot of the reasons that some of the players that should make the Canadian team don't as well, too, which is there's a lot of politics involved in some of this about who they pick and who they don't. In the same way that Canada is not going to have Gabe Vilardi in camp to play, to compete for a spot, even though I thought he should have been there, you know, at least to see the guy and see how he does. That I don't think that Kostin does make the team because I think that they want him to, you know, this is speculation on my part, but I think that, you know, it's a little bit of a shot across the bow and saying, you know, we need you to play hard all the time. And he doesn't play as quickly or as often as he should. And you were right. He was underwhelming in that tournament. So here's the thing is this kid, when he's on his game, is one of the very best prospects in his age group in the world. And so, you know, I would have loved to see him in this tournament, but I don't think we're going to see him.
No, he's not on the preliminary roster. I could get into talking the politics of team selection with you all day. I think that's fascinating, but it's a topic for another show. One last Russian player, and then Paul's got a check for you. German Rupstov. I finally got to watch him play in the Canada-Russia series, and at times he was dominant. I mean, he was head and shoulders above carrying the entire play, and not just on the power play, but I mean, he was a force in some of the games that I watched. I'm becoming a big German Rupstov fan, and he's my Russian player pick for breakout player of the tournament for Russia. Am I right? Am I wrong? What's your take on Rupstov?
Yeah, you know, we actually sort of talked about him after the Canada-Russia series on our show. And I can't agree with you more, actually. I think Rubtsov's a very unique combination of skills because he skates so well, he shoots so well, he's got he passes really well, but he's a really in-your-face type gritty two-way center as well. And you know, there was, some player comparisons thrown around, but, the thing is with Rubtsov is that, you could kind of look at him and say, well, he's plays a little bit like Ryan Kessler, he's going to be a really strong center for whoever he centers. And I think that they, even at this age, even though he just got drafted this last year, that, he could be anywhere from the second to the fourth line, just because he can fill a role in whatever role they want, like whatever they need from him. So he could be a really strong checker, he could be a really strong offensive player, depending on how they decide to build their lines and if they decide to roll four lines. I think that, if they put him with somebody else who's also a good forechecker and can go in and be strong along the wall, that'll allow him to free up to dig loose pucks free and to be able to move the puck to the other open wing. I think that he's going to be a very key player for Russia.
So the Czech Republic, the underdog team that really needs a goaltender to steal a game to become a medal contender, can Daniel Vladar, drafted by Boston Bruins, be that goaltender to steal a game?
Yeah, I think he can. The Czechs are not as good a team as they have been in years or decades past. They're not producing offensive talent in the same way they are. So you're exactly right, Paul, that they're going to have to win really tight games, and they're going to need a big goaltending, big goaltending performance. And fortunately, with Vladar, he's a big goaltender, he played in the USHL and played really, really well. And he basically was a little bit of an under the radar guy for a lot of people because of where he was playing, which was for the Chicago Steel. And even though that's one of the bigger cities in the USHL, not a lot of people pay that much attention to them. But he was very, very dominant on certain nights. And he's already been playing a few games with the Providence Bruins. And so he's got that professional experience now as well, too. This kid is very positionally sound. He's big. He fills the net. He's got a really good glove. He needs to be quick on his feet. That's something he's going to need to do. He's going to need to recover really quickly. If they're going to win some games, Daniel Vladar is going to have to be big for them. And I think he can. I think I don't know when he's going to do it, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's going to have a real shutdown game at some point in this tournament.
Ainsley, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you so much for bringing your A game. That was some outstanding analysis on a whole bunch of players from across the world. So thanks very much. For our listeners that want to hear you talk some more, where can they find you?
Oh, well, if they want to hear our show, Hockey Prospect Radio, they can catch us on Sirius XM Saturday mornings, NHL Network Radio, which is Channel 91. They can catch us Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 and Sunday mornings 8 to 10. And then we're all across the TSN Radio Network across Canada as well, too, at various times. So you check your local schedules. And then you can find us on the TSN podcast site or on their Draft Center site, so they can archive all of those shows and listen to it. If they want to catch me on Twitter, I'm not a prolific tweeter, but they can connect with me at Hockey Minister on Twitter. And I'm really I'm happy to come on the show, guys. Thank you very much. I'm a subscriber and I'm an avid listener, and so it was I was waiting for the invite, actually. I saw Russ and I saw Shane had already made it on. I thought, well, damn, when's my turn? So I was waiting to get on this show. So I really appreciate it, guys.
We saved the best for last, dude. And I tell you, the Saturday morning routine, listening to your show, sitting on my couch, snuggling with my dog, drinking my cup of Joe, is it's a weekly routine. I do it every Saturday and I love it. Can't get enough. So thanks for coming on the show. It means a lot.
Anytime.
Talk to you later, Ainsley. And again, thanks for coming on. Wow, a lot of great insight from Ainsley Scott, who is part of Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM Radio, Channel 91, as well as your local TSN network radio. We also want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in as well. Without you guys, we wouldn't be able to produce a podcast, so please continue to listen. Check out Episode 8 show notes at dauberprospects.com/DPR08. Email us with any prospect fantasy questions or players that you may want to hear us cover in an upcoming episode. That email is prospectradio@dauberprospects.com, and please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Don't forget to give us a 5-star review and share a podcast with anybody who may be interested. Also, follow the show account on Twitter @DPR_show, and myself @Zwanbeg, and Peter @P. Harling. Enjoy the World Junior Championships. We're only 2 weeks away. That's it for now. Talk to you soon, Peter.